It seems like we have our brother Yasin Khan all the way from Makkah Mukarrama. Let's connect with him, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Haji Yasin Khan, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's an honor to have you joining us after such a long time. I know previously you used to join us. Alhamdulillah, this year you are going to give us a little bit of feedback on the situation of the Hujjaj and specific focus on our inshallah. South Africans, inshallah.
Inshallah. Alhamdulillah, on Monday this week, the last of the Hujjaj arrived from either from Medina or from Makkah Mukarrama all the way into the accommodation in Azizia, and they started settling in. We are very fortunate that the South African Hujjaj have settled in quickly and acclimatized nicely to their new environment and their new surroundings in preparation for the days of Hajj. There's a great sense of camaraderie and community that is forming amongst our people, and the excitement that has been building up over the last few days is palpable. Monday evening, we walked the Hujjaj up to the Mina camps to show them where they would be residing on the Mashayikh for the 6 days of Hajj. From the Mina camps, we did an orientation walk to show them how to walk to the Jamarat, how they will pelt, where they should meet to they are separated from the groups, how to find their way back to the accommodation in Azizia after they have pelted, if they need to use the facilities there, the walking route to from the Jamarat direct to the Haram, just to make them all understand what the routes they will take for these most blessed days, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, that walk went well. It was an eye-opener for Hujjaj, who for the first time, many people are quite emotional, being able to see the Mashayikh for the first time in person, not just look at pictures, because a picture that we see or a video clip that we see will never be able to fully bring to the forefront what the scale of Mina is or the scale of the Jamarat. And to see it in person, I think there's two aspects to it. One was seeing it empty, and inshallah, this Friday, once we start moving to Mina, they will see it to full capacity.
And I think that's, I haven't been for Hajj, so make dua, inshallah, we come also.
Inshallah, may Allah bring you soon. May Allah bring you soon.
Ameen. So for me, even though we've done the text in Hadith, we've done the text in Fiqh, we've done the text of the Quran Sharif, but when the actual experience is there, that is actually what counts. And I will say one of the fears upon us who hasn't been is when we get there, what do we do? But alhamdulillah, as I'm listening to you, it seems much more comfy for us. It's solace for our hearts to know that you prepare those who are coming and you show them the places. So that it just makes things easier on the day, because on the day you don't want to make a mistake. So alhamdulillah.
Inshallah, Allah will forgive any mistakes that we make. Allah is forgiving to us. But alhamdulillah, we are fortunate that every single South African is traveling with a service provider that is dedicated and has spent the last few months preparing the Hujjaj under their care, not just with orientations and logistical programs, but with ulama guidance and spiritual uplifting programs, right through from that before they left home, right through their journey in Medina, in Makkah, the engagement and constant forum that we have with them to teach them the different masail and fiqh. Not just to cover the spiritual aspect, but to prepare them for the physical and logistical aspects and challenges that they will be facing, inshallah. So the khadir that are with will be with the Hujjaj throughout. We will not be able to physically complete the rites for them. That is the responsibility of the Hujjaj. But we are there to guide them and assist them and ensure that they complete the rites to the best of their ability to achieve a Hajj Maqbool and Mabroor, inshallah.
Ameen. And I'm sure it's quite a few years now that you are in this field. Alhamdulillah, Allah Azawajal accepted from yourself. What do you notice inshallah, different Ameen. From this Hajj 1445 compared to previous Hajj?
Alhamdulillah, what we have noted throughout the groups that we have seen and is met and is engaged with, and it's very heartwarming to see that the age of the Hujjaj that are coming is becoming much younger. That means it's quite. I'm very positive about this. It means our young Muslim brothers and sisters are registering for accreditation much earlier in their lives, and they consider it an important aspect that has to be completed, and it makes a big difference on the journey. with Hajj now currently falling in the summer season, I'm not going to lie to you, brother. Even the service providers, even the khadims, the mission workers, the temperatures this year at the moment, even in the shade, we are suffering. So we are expecting astronomical temperatures for the days of Hajj. The weather this year is unlike anything any of us have ever experienced before. And we know it's going to be taxing on our mothers and our fathers and our aunts and our elders and our care. So we want to make it as easy as possible for them. We want to facilitate a smooth journey for them. But we leave it all to Allah, inshallah. We make dua. But we must always take precautions and ensure that that they are well taken care of. So like I said, it's for me, what's most heartwarming is that it is a lot more younger Hujjaj coming in. It's very nice to see. I encourage everyone, if you have not registered to travel for Hajj, put your name down on the list. Allah will call you soon, inshallah.
Inshallah. And we hear often about the walking Hajj. But if you can just open up for the listeners, what is meant by the walking Hajj? And why I'm asking this also now is because, as you have mentioned, the weather, it's quite hot there. So it becomes a little bit more challenging. So as a first-time Haji, what is the definition of a walking Hajj? And do you recommend it in the heat that is there at the moment?
Okay. So there's different aspects for one needs to consider when talking about a walking Hajj. In my personal opinion, from the time a Haji leaves South Africa and lands in Medina, they have begun walking already. Every day for the waqf of Salah, an average person walks between 7 to 14 kilometers every day, regardless. However, once they arrive in, as you said, they start walking a little bit more to walk to the various masjids around the Azizia. They will walk to the days now before the Hajj starts. They get to walk into the Bindawar or to the various stores to buy their musallas, their provisions, their extra dry fruit to pack in their bags. But a walking Hajj refers to various stages on the journey. So Hujjaj have various stages which they can walk. And the first stage would be to walk from Azizia to Mina. This will be done after Fajr on Friday morning, and they will walk from the Azizia accommodation. They will walk to the Mina camp. The second stage of walking would be to walk from the Mina camp to Arafah. That you will do again after following the Sunnah, perform your Fajr in Mina. You will then depart the Mina camp, and then you will walk to Arafah. And the third stage of walking is walking from Arafah to Muzdalifah. Once the sun has set and the wukuf has ended, you walk in that stage.
So let's just do this.
On each of these three stages, buses are provided for the Hujjaj. So Hujjaj have a choice. They either take the Taridiyah bus system that is provided by the Mu'assasa for the shuttle, that transports you from your accommodation in Azizia to Mina, and then from Mina to Arafah, and then from Arafah to Muzdalifah, or you choose to walk those legs. However, from Muzdalifah onwards, everyone walks. There's no difference. There's no buses provided from the morning of the third day of Hajj right through to the last day of Hajj. The shuttle system will only come into place once on the fifth day. After you start on the fifth day, a shuttle is provided from the Mina camp to take you back to Azizia. But inshallah, we will make dua that all who charge take advantage of their farz Hajj and stay for the full 6 days on the Mashayikh, and a shuttle is provided on the sixth day as well to transport them from the Mina camp back to Azizia, inshallah.
And I'm very happy that you've mentioned the 6 day Hajj, because that is what it is all about, going the extra mile.
Correct. And we are at Himmatul Awam, we advise our Hujjaj to not waste this opportunity of dua and ibadah. The days of Tashreeq are special. It is mentioned in the Quran, and we should take advantage of this. Why waste an opportunity to receive the rewards of ibadah and leave the Mashayikh early? Spend the extra day on Mina. For when these days are over, you will never get them back, and you will regret not staying on the day.
We've heard reports, I think it was day before yesterday, that the first Hajj baby, they call, was born, a Nigerian baby. So any of the South Africans that were born on this particular Hajj 1445?
And inshallah, we haven't had any good news of this. We haven't heard of anyone falling pregnant at this stage, but we do know, alhamdulillah, we refer to them as Hajj babies. Every year when Hujjaj come back, Allah has blessed many a couple with a child conceived during his desert days, before the days of Hajj. Mm. But we've had no South Africans giving birth so far.
And the other question then is the opposite side now. They say South Africans are really fragile. And, you know, we're spoiled. So,
you break into a very faint line, brother.
Okay.
Speak up a little bit.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Gee, so we go to the opposite side now. They say South Africans are extremely fragile. So what's the challenges our South Africans, especially whereas youngsters there, what are they facing in terms of challenges? Any challenges?
I think the challenges are not so much as we were fragile, is that we are too used to some comforts in our lives. Mm. And the journey, many people aren't ready to move out of their comfort zones and to move away from some of the luxuries that they used to. Alhamdulillah, if you prepare yourself mentally and you're aware of the logistics and the practicality and the reality of the journey, and we encourage the Hujjaj, it is 6 days of discomfort. It is 6 days of sacrifice for the ultimate reward, a reward that is promised by Allah Ta'ala. What more would you ask for a guaranteed promise from Him that created all? That if you can sacrifice for 6 days of your life, you're guaranteed to be born anew. That is the only way we can put it. If you are unable to make those sacrifices, then you're not ready for this journey.
Gee, that's what we've been informed of, that we got to start. So what does it mean? I mean, because most of the Hujjaj, I don't think they're listening to us right now. They're focusing on their rituals, what they need to be doing, etc., catching a rest before these days start, actually. So mm-hmm. for us here in South Africa, what does it mean to prepare? How do we start preparing? Do we go outside, sleep in a tent?
Inshallah, the basics is this. Start with register yourself for accreditation. Once you have registered, your intention is made. Start saving. Every year, Hujjaj complain the prices are too expensive or the prices where they can't afford it. But if you've made your register, the waiting list is between 6 to 7 years at this point. You have 6 to 7 years once you've registered to start saving towards your journey. That's one aspect. The second aspect is to start understanding what the faraid of Hajj is and understand where you will be. Understand that there's no mulana or ulama or spiritual leader or guide that's going to be holding your hand. This is your journey. This is a journey that you have to facilitate and you have to accept and face on your own. The service providers or the travel agents or the accredited operators are there to facilitate and provide you with the movement and to get you from point to point. You are there to fulfill this Hajj. You are there to stand on the mashayir yourself. No one is going to hold your hand. No one is going to lift your hands and make dua for you. That is a wasted Hajj. Your du'as are more important than anyone else. Accept that. The third thing that someone should accept is that it is going to be uncomfortable. There's no privacy. There's no private spaces. There's no 2-3-ply toilet paper. There's no complaining about this, the brother's shoulder is touching my shoulder or his foot is on my foot. We are meant to be in these places, in these conditions, to remove our egos. Mm-hmm. And our pride from ourselves, and to humble us. And if we can start accepting that from now, inshallah, you will have a good Hajj.
Beautiful points that has been mentioned here. And I like the way you have said 7 years. If you've started to register now, you're going to... So it's a long process of mental preparation as well as physical preparation. Because, let's face it, Hajj is only once compulsory. And you want to make the most of it. And I'm sure you have been, like I've said previously, you've been there for a few years now. So Salah, for example, a new Muslim, first is going to struggle, and then slowly it becomes ingrained, and he becomes accustomed to it.
It becomes a nature for you.
So for Hajj, that first journey, it's pretty important that we acquaint ourselves with those who are experienced as well. Any other points that maybe the Hujjaj, I think there's one more group that is coming, I think. I'm not too sure. I don't know if you, Brother Yasin, have any knowledge of this.
Another group that is coming?
From South Africa, gee. I think probably this
All the South African Hujjaj should be here already. If there's anyone coming in at the moment, they've probably been issued visas, courtesy visas, by the Nusud platform directly, inshallah. But okay. They would have their own arrangements and their own camps and their own facilities. They wouldn't be with the South issued visas.
Okay, and from all these years of experience, what are the lessons that you can share, you personally, Brother Yasin Khan?
Oof, there's a lot. Each Hajj is different. Each mission is different. Everything is unique. There are certain consistencies that we are grateful for, we make shukr to Allah for. But the systems and the processes and the facilities around the Haram update constantly. And alhamdulillah, they do, the Ministry of Hajj does so for the ease of the Hujjaj, to facilitate a smooth and easy journey for them. So as long as you keep up to date with them, there wouldn't be any issues, inshallah. I think one of the benefits that we've seen this year is the introduction, obviously, of the Nusuk card for the security and the ease of access for Hujjaj to certain services for on their journey. The Nusuk card is a card that has the Hajj's photo on it, has a QR code for them to scan. Inshallah, if Brother Suleiman Isab sends me a WhatsApp message after this conversation, I can send him a picture of what these cards look like. The Ministry of Hajj is dedicated to making the journey as easy and as safe as possible for all the judges. So there's a lot of benefits that have been introduced this year, which we are taking each. It was a bit of a change from what we used to, but inshallah, we can see how it's going to improve going forward.
And I guess that maybe serves as a challenge for those, as you said, there's more youth and youngsters there. But for those who are elderly, and it's their first time Hajj as well, so it may serve as a challenge for them to get used to all these apps and technological advancements. Mm-hmm. What's the advice?
No, which is a good thing, because they're using it, they're running it concurrently. You use the Nusuk app with your Hajj visa and your Hajj profile, and they're physically giving you a card that you wear around your neck. So for the elderly, they understand that not everyone is technologically inclined. So they're running it concurrently at the moment, alhamdulillah.
And what's the vibes like with people from other countries? I know we've been speaking about South Africa mostly, but as you interact,
it's a very good environment. We encourage it is encouraged to greet and to feed one of the Hujjaj from around the world, and it is encouraged to smile and greet the Hujjaj, and we encourage that amongst our selectors. And alhamdulillah, every day in Azizia, when the people are walking to the masjid, you see the Hujjaj greeting each other with smiles on their faces. It's a wonderful environment, alhamdulillah.
I said yesterday that one difference you can make from the days of Hajj, meaning these 10 days of Hajj, Dhul Hijjah, and Ramadan, the last 10 days as well, is one is there in Ramadan that the shayateen are locked up, they're chained up. And here in these days of Hajj, the shayateen are not locked up, although the Hujjaj will be pelting them. So, but he's always there and he's always focusing, trying to see how he can snatch the spirituality of each Haji and getting them involved, especially when the Quran Majid specifically mentions that they should not engage in quarrels, all of this. Do you find yourself around you, surrounding you? We don't have to speak specific country or anything, but do you find this is a challenge where there's much more quarrels between people? Or what is it like? Sorry, we just missed your last statement. We're losing network here. Brother Yasin, sorry, you're breaking up. In a moment again. That was Brother Yasin Khan giving us good tips, advice, for those who are going to go in the future, inshallah, and what to expect, and that also outlining the challenges of the Hajj 1445, although we shouldn't look at it as a challenge, but of course it is there, but your response, that's what matters.